Hi, and welcome to episode 69 of the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In today's conversation, Steph and I go deep on the topic of how we go about undertaking commissions in our art businesses, from how we got those first commissions, to strategies for pricing them, to ways of managing the inquiry process. We go deep on this one. So if you've ever wondered how to go about creating a commissions process that is streamlined and works time and time again, grab yourself a cuppa and let's unpack the subject of commissions. We're heading into the school holidays here in Australia this week, which means that this episode marks the end of season 4, and it's time for Steph and I to take a couple of weeks off from the podcast and hang with our families. We'll be back with season 5 and a fresh new episode on the 20th of April. Hi, this is Susan Nellicott and welcome to the Studio Insider Art Podcast. In these episodes, I throw open the doors to my art studio practice and how I run my business as a professional artist. Whether it be candid insider chats with my studio assistants Laura and Steph, or interviews with other creatives, or answering listener questions, there is something here for every emerging artist. I hope my journey can help you feel a bit more at home in your own. I'm in the studio with Steph today, and we're going to be chatting about a question that came in from a listener. Her name is Ellen Vandermeid, and she writes, "Hi, Susan and Steph. Since the pandemic started and I lost my job, I've restarted my art practice and I'm transitioning to selling my work full-time. I'm starting to get commissions for a specific theme I've been working on, and I would love to hear your thoughts, advice, and experience with commissions work. How do you navigate commissions from a business perspective as well as the creative side? Thank you so much for the podcast. It's been incredibly helpful as I take on this new venture. Kindly, Ellen." Well, thanks so much for writing in, Ellen. We're happy to sit down and have a chat with you about it. So let's get started.
Hey, Sue.
I'm so excited to jump into this topic and this question from Ellen today around commissions, because we've both currently got commissions going on.
I know, right?
So this is a really juicy thing for us to jump into, as it's fresh and all the pain points are fresh, which is always like a pretty significant part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You're obviously a lot further on this journey. You've completed a lot of commissions, but I'm on my third ever. So I'm really interested to hear like what you've uncovered in your experiences, and because I know there'll be something that is going to help me too. So thanks, Ellen.
Yeah, I think it'll be a helpful topic for everyone. Yeah, well, commissions, I think, are a great way to grow an art business. And I also understand they can be really, really scary and confronting for an artist to take on that commission from someone. So there are definitely things that I have in place in my own business to manage that whole process. And all of those processes have come along with awkward situations and, you know, lots of hard feelings that I've had to move through in negotiating it. So I'm happy to chat about a bit of that today. So I'm just thinking, what's the best place to start? I mean, it's first like when that person approaches you, isn't it?
Yeah, really? And I'd love to hear from you how you used to do things and what you've learned and therefore the changes that you've made to how it is now as well. Like, because you do have a really complete systematic process, but it can't have always been that way.
No, it wasn't. So in the beginning, people would ask me for a painting and I would say yes, and I would just keep saying yes. And particularly in the first few years of when things kind of blew up for me on social media, I got heaps of them, and it became really clear to me that that was a really lucrative way to be painting and being basically ensured that you were going to get paid for every painting that you made. So it was a really great place to build the foundation of the business fiscally, you know, like to really build my confidence and my sense of how I can produce predictable income. Because that's quite, I reckon that's got to be one of the hardest things, doesn't it, about an art business, is that how do you navigate that, what can be rather predictable income. And it was great, and I found real flow with that and found that I was good at that, but I also burned out, and I found it really hard to switch from, I'd be like, have my own ideas and personal work that I wanted to produce, And that takes time, like being in a really productive personal painting cycle. And then I'd have to switch gears back to like what was always a previous style, because people are usually asking for work that's similar to what has pre-existed that they're seeing in your Instagram feed or on your website. So I found that that was actually really disruptive to my creative process, having to switch back all the time.
Right, yeah.
So after probably about 18 months of just kind of saying yes to everything, as you do, that's when I decided that I needed some way of having periods where I was accepting commissions and having periods where I wasn't accepting commissions. So I created a system where people could sign up to my list, and I just said on my website, I'm not taking commissions right now, but I will let you know when they open back up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yes. Okay. This is really interesting. So first of all, I'm interested to hear where people found you, because they found you through social media, the things you put out in the world. Maybe they came across some artwork that was licensed onto a magazine or something. Like, who knows where they found you, but it's often not in real time. They're not seeing necessarily your current work.
Yes.
For you, they were seeing a very specific style that resonated really strongly with people, but it wasn't necessarily what was lighting you up.
Well, it was something that had previously lit me up, but I'd moved on. Right. So, and then you have to go back. But I've come to kind of realize that even when you do go back and you're producing something in the vein of what you've produced earlier, I'm endlessly interested that when I go back and paint something, it actually isn't exactly the same.
Mm.
There are changes and advancements in technique, and but that's just a bit of a side note.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that the people that found me first for commissions were actually people I knew.
Oh, okay. Right?
So that's an interesting one as well. And they... So my very first commissions, which were quite early on actually, and many of the paintings that I made were not even in the style that I really currently paint in anymore. They were very much in my early, early days, and they were people that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And back then I didn't have a Facebook business page. I only had my personal page, and I would just post my art there because that was what I was doing in my life.
Right.
So old friends were getting in contact going, I'm loving this and I'd really like something like it. Do you accept commissions? And I'd be there with my fingernails in my teeth going, okay.
I think that most of us can relate to
that. Yeah, and they were like, you know, priced kind of relatively low because I was so nervous about doing those first commissions that I actually didn't want the pressure of like perhaps charging really what something like that would have been worth, because I knew I was still learning and in those early phases as well. So that's just something for people, I think, to keep in mind. If they're early on in their journey and people are inquiring, then say yes, but don't put huge pressure on yourself that you may not actually be ready for by putting a huge ticket, price ticket on it.
Mm.
That worked really well for me because it helped me to build my confidence around my process, like around the nitty-gritty of how to manage the actual process of painting the commission. For example, like how often do you send photos to people throughout the process and let them have a say on what you're doing? Like how involved do you want them to be?
And okay, this is pain point for me. Because to me, there are two parts to a commission. There's the actual painting and there's the relationship.
Yeah.
And managing the relationship can take almost more time than actually doing the work, doing the painting.
Yeah.
And I think I'd underestimated that. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that commissions cost a lot of money, mm-hmm. is because it's not just letting an artist go for it. There's a lot of emailing back and forth or messaging. There's a lot of communication, all of which your time needs to be paid for.
That's right.
So I think I went too far the other way of saying, yeah, I'll do you commission. It's the same price as my normal work. Well, that was silly because it took four times longer because there was a relationship to manage. Yes. And I'd underestimated how involved that would be. So
see, this is where I had noticed the same thing, but also why I built things in place to deal to manage that, to automate that process a little bit.
Okay.
So one of the things that I found took a lot of time for me was initial inquiries from people and how long it would take me to actually come up with a quote figure and, you know, like really needed to sit down and figure out, okay, how am I charging for these? And that took quite some time for me to figure out, because you need a little bit of experience under your belt to be able to figure things out, like an hourly rate or a price per inch rate, which is actually kind of an avenue I've ended up going down very recently. Mm. But what I did was I created a PDF on my website for people. If they were interested in getting a commission, they go to my page, and if my page said I'm not currently open for commissions, click this button, download this document, and it'll walk you through all the preparatory things that you can do in the meantime while you're waiting for me to open up for commissions again.
Right. Okay. So it's beyond a FAQ. It's a beyond a frequently asked questions.
You could do an FAQ, but it is right. Beyond that. And to me, that feels more personal and gives right. them something in their hand, something tangible that can help guide them through that early stage of the process. And then, yeah, so that's how I manage that part of it. The other part of it is like when you've taken on the commission from the person, how involved do you want them to be in that process? And what I've found is that you need to be very clear on the kind of artist you are, how you work best, because too much information from the outside and opinion from the outside can actually really disable you as an artist. So I minimize that.
I think that's very wise, because I think that you're an expert in what you're doing, and that's why people are asking you. And you're right, too much. It's like spending too much time on Pinterest when you're trying to create something original. If there's too much information and too much to think about, it really does stifle the work. That makes bad work.
And the interesting thing I've learned from feedback from customers, when I have asked specifically maybe for more feedback than I ordinarily would, my question will be something like, do you have specific ideas of what you would like in this particular area, or are you happy for me to do my thing?
Yeah.
And 99% of the time, they're happy for me to do my thing. Mm-hmm. So they're actually, they're commissioning an artwork from you because they love the work that you make, and they've seen enough of it to know that you can make the perfect artwork for them.
Yeah.
So I minimize the conversation that I have, and I usually, so the process once I open commissions that I do now is someone can buy a spot in my commissions calendar. I will open up a limited amount for say a 6 month period or a 12 month period. The cost of a space is $195, and with that they purchase a commission proposal pack. And if people want to check out how all this works, they can just go to my art website, susannavicott.com, and have a look at how all the processes work. And the reason I do that is because part of my process is that I create a commission proposal document for people, where I get feedback from them. I get them to send me screenshots of the kind of artwork that they like of mine, and I put it all together in an Illustrator document. I get them to tell me about their space and what most appeals to them. And if I feel like I need it, sometimes it's very clear, and they send me like one image and go, can you just paint me another one of these? Which is kind of easy, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's an amalgamation of like 3 to 5 images, and I do ask specifically for no more than that, because then it just becomes really confusing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I put all of that into a document, and I send, and also there's a contract with that. And what I ask for is that they pay 1/3 upfront. A lot of artists do half upfront.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I don't do that is because I actually want to receive more money at the end of it. I don't want to have spent it already through the whole commission period. But
that.
1/3 is enough to cover my costs and my time and to keep everything rolling.
You've also probably done more than 1/3 of the work to get to this point, I'll be honest.
It's very time consuming. That's why I charge for the pack, because I used to do it all for free, and it was taking up an enormous amount of time, and people may, sometimes you do a proposal and they don't ever get back to you. And I'm like, well, that's 3 hours I'm never getting back, you know, and that's a lot of time. I mean, it doesn't usually take me that long, but when you add it all together, it's a lot of thinking and negotiating in your own mind. And I always get a quote from I have my canvases for all my commissions made by a really great maker in Melbourne called, Fitzroy Stretches. So all of my canvases, I just send a quote to them on the size that's been requested by the client so that I'm crystal clear on the cost of the canvas, and I give a quote for that and the cost of my work. I actually list them separately because I want them to appreciate how much of what I'm doing for them is actually materials that I'm not profiting from.
Yes.
And then when the agreement is made, when they pay that one third deposit, and then they're locked in, but they're not locked in until they've paid that deposit.
Yes.
They're not locked into my calendar in a vague time frame, because as we know, deadlines are Susan's kryptonite, and I have that all spelled out on my webpage. I don't do tight deadlines.
Yeah. Okay.
So don't ask me to paint a painting for your wife's 50th birthday by the 30th of October, because it's not going to work for me.
Hey there, guys. Are you craving some fresh input into your creative routine? Sometimes we all need a little help along in the journey to see our artwork and our art practice through fresh eyes. And sometimes just a slightly different approach to our art making can be just the thing for creating the micro shift that takes our work from being good to becoming really great. My Painting as a Practice e-courses can do just that. And right now you can get my foundation course chapter 1 and also the bundle of chapters 1 and 2 of Painting as a Practice for 20% off during my Equinox sale. Ending on the 31st of March 2021, which is only a day after this episode goes live, means you don't have long until this offer ends. All you have to do is use the code EQ1 at the checkout to save 20% off Chapter 1 of Painting as a Practice, and the code EQ2 to save 20% off the Chapters 1 and 2 bundle. But it's only until midnight on the 31st of March 2021. Find all the links and details in the show notes, or go to susannethercottstudio.com/online-classes.
Okay. Wow.
There's a lot.
That's quite a process.
And it took a long time to set that up.
Mm. I feel like you had to develop all that to deal with a problem that I don't have, which is...
I don't know, but like you've
too
had
many.
But you've got a few commissions that are...
Yeah, three ever. That's not a million. I've just finished...
Three ever in your first year. That's actually very good. Hello.
Is it?
Sorry, refer back to our comparisonitis podcast episode that was not that long ago?
I don't even know. You make it sound like it just happened. Like millions of people wanted you to paint them paintings.
No, it all happened over like several years, Steph.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's given me a bit of perspective. I'm going to talk you through my process, which is so much less involved. And now I'm like, oh my gosh.
You're a much less wordy person than me too.
I don't know. I can really see why you've got all those things in process, because the biggest problem with commissions is that they can fall through at any point. Something can go wrong. The relationship can go sour, and you've spent a lot of time and your own money making something that you're now stuck with, that you didn't necessarily really want to create in the first place because it's not play or, you know. So I get it. I get why you have all those layers. So far, I have been approached by people through Instagram. They haven't found me on my own Instagram, but that's the go-to place. I have work in stores, and I think most of them have found me there, and perhaps the pieces they wanted that weren't available, or they saw me, went to my Instagram, and then realized they'd missed out on something that really spoke to them. So that seems to be the vibe.
Yeah, and I should say that a lot of people found me through Instagram too, so that has definitely been a place. Just letting you know, because I've only talked about the early ones, but that's actually been a very good place to get commissions. And I actually refer my clients commission clients back to my Instagram to take their screenshots to right. send me, because it's the most comprehensive gallery, up-to-date gallery I have.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But they're contacting me through there in the DMs, mm. and I'm happy to have DM conversations. I'm not at the place where my business where I'm overwhelmed. With that, like if someone messages me, I still do happy dances, you know. So things have evolved through there. There's been
I still do happy dances. Yeah. You got it. It's the gratitude, man.
Yeah. So one of the biggest pain points for me is verbalizing a price.
So, yeah, well, yes, totally.
So I've now started to do it very early in the process.
Yeah.
So if they found me through a store, they already know that the mini artworks in those stores cost a certain amount of money. So there's an assumption that something bigger will be more. But I am the most recent one I've done, I think this worked for me quite well, is I gave four different sizes and said, these are some of the common sizes I work in and here is a price point attached to that. And I sell my work framed, so I just include that in the price. That's been really great because it's helped me sort of like set an expectation and ease myself into the money part of it. Yeah. And often they've asked for things, most times they've asked for things bigger than I've even suggested because they're willing to spend more, which is a great feeling. Because yeah, then I can accept that with gratitude rather than feeling really uncomfortable having to tell somebody a sum that makes me feel awkward.
I think there's a lot to be said for figuring out price points and having them available for people. Having said that, I actually haven't had standardized sizes on my own website, but I'm intending to very soon have a list of sizes and prices because I feel so clear now on the kinds of work people commission from me. Because some work takes longer than other work too.
Mm-hmm.
So that resolves a lot of issues around, you just send it and they either go okay or no, that's too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can let it go without investing too much time. Mm.
In terms of the amount of involvement that people want to have, so how I've managed that process, it's been very different each time. First time it was can you replicate this for me, but a bit bigger, please?
Yeah.
The second time it was, I'm so indecisive. If you give me too much choice, nothing will ever happen. I love your style. I already own two of your works. Please just go for it. And then that's really perfect. An ideal situation for me.
Yeah.
That's when I make my best work.
Yeah.
And then I have asked a few further questions, like have a think about the room this is going into. Are there any colors in there that you don't want me to include? Anything you do want me to include? Are you okay with fluoros because I love them? Like just to field out any potential problems, but not enough so that it's overwhelming. Just one quick message. And now the third time, which is what I'm working on now, has been a lot more specific. It's a birthday gift for somebody who loves a certain set of colours, who they think my style will really resonate with. And then they've also suggested an element, could I please possibly include this? And this was a bit of a make or break moment because it's a motif that I wouldn't normally work with. And I think at this point you have to ask yourself, is that a fun challenge or is that outside of what I do and just going to be annoying?
Or there's a third one.
What's the third?
Is this a growth challenge?
Yes. Yes.
And I have had growth challenges with commissions that have been complete game changers in my own art business and entire trajectory.
But on the flip side, it can become a nightmare really quickly.
Well, it can if it's really unaligned.
Yeah.
For me, it turned out to be a wonderful surprise. But I think it's important to just keep that in mind because commissions can push you in directions you wouldn't normally go in. Mm. And sometimes they can be really good.
Yeah, which is how I feel about this specific thing. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Mm. I can see the link. Let's explore that and see what happens. So in this case, I am supplying a few preparatory sketches, but I've been very clear about what that's going to look like. Yes. They're going to be very loose. They're a vague idea. They're a lot smaller than the finished piece, but this is going to give you an idea of the direction I'm going in so that you can feel comfortable with it.
And that's something I did a lot of too early on in the piece with commissions, was doing studies and sending people studies, which actually was really helpful to me, because then I had so much more clarity around what they were after, that when it came to producing it at a larger scale, it really relieved a lot of that, oh, they're going to like attention from me. I think it's people, real. I mean, you don't want to go overboard and take too long with it, but if you spend an afternoon creating some concepts for people, especially people that can't quite envisage exactly what they want and you're not feeling clear, just to give them clarity, it's actually really worth it in the long run in terms of how much it eases up the process later.
Right, yeah, I'm sure that's actually really valuable, because the worst case scenario is you just put all this love and energy into something and they hate it and don't want to pay for it.
Well, that's right. So let's talk about protecting yourself against that. So have you got anything in place with like deposits and refund policies, etc.?
No, not that progressed really. I take a deposit again, I take about 30%, because that's enough to pay for any supplies and not leave me out of pocket. Mm-hmm. And I don't start the work until that's arrived. Even if they're in a rush, whatever, until that's arrived, I feel like it's not solid. It's just an idea still.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't really thought that through. Mm. I mean, not in this iteration of my creative business. I have in the past, but not for paintings. Mm. But yeah, there really is a feeling, isn't there, when you show someone. I mean, I sat on a finished painting for a week and a half.
I sat on one for 3 weeks the other week. You? I was just like, and then I was like, what are you doing?
Let it go.
Did change a couple of things. Sometimes I just need to put them on ice for a while before I send the photo, just to make sure. But back onto that topic of the deposit, I take a third as well. But I also, that's non-refundable for me. And that is, I state really clearly in my contract that I will do a certain amount of revisions. And once we get to that amount, I actually charge for it. And if we can't agree on it being complete and then wanting to receive it, then I retain the commission, the initial deposit and the painting. And then you can sell the painting. So it's not a complete loss.
But I feel that way too. I feel like if I'm just being allowed to let loose, I can sell that painting afterwards. Right. But if I'm doing something really specific with a specific motif or colorways, that is destined for a specific person.
It's true.
And it's much harder to sell that in the general collection of your work. Like, it doesn't feel as true to sell in that way. I don't know. Right, there's so many things that I think I have to develop here.
Like, oh, well, they're just, you know, I think also you just feel into it and you get a sense of what works for you and doesn't work for you in your own creative process and in the way that your style of interacting with people.
Yes.
That you gradually develop something. It took me a really long time to develop that system. I think I was doing commissions for like well over 3 years before I actually like created some documents outlining it. And they're ready for review again. I want to change them up a little bit and change up my system a little bit again. And I haven't done a hell of a lot of commissions over the last sort of 18 months because I just felt really quite burned out with them and was getting some body issues and stuff and just doing too many. And again, it was that frustration around I really wasn't finding I had enough personal painting exploration time. But yeah, but that's basically the process.
I just wanted to speak to when I show the painting.
So you say
that, you know, you're talking about making revisions and stuff. So I show it when I think it's almost finished but not quite.
Yes. I pretty much take it to the place where I get my internal, we're done here.
Yeah.
And then I don't varnish, I don't fix anything, so everything that's on there is removable. Or I stop at a point where something is about to happen that's impermanent. So if I'm using oil pastels, for example, on a painting, I will send the approval photo before the oil pastels go on, and I will state clearly in that email, I'm about to go to a point of no return, so you need to tell me, are you okay with what's here?
Yes.
And are we on track? Are there any changes? Because after this stage, I move on to a stage that can't be reversed.
Yes, that's wise. Mm.
Or if there's none of that issue there, then I complete it to where I feel that internal, and then I just let them have their say and ask if there's anything additional.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's wise, but yeah, I think like once I've decided something is finished and it's signed, I don't want to touch it again. And emotionally I'm done. So I think, you know, a few steps before that where the composition is there, the bulk of the work is there, but I would normally walk away for a few days and then come back and tweak a few things. Mm-hmm. That's the point that I've sent the photo and said, just about finished. So if there's anything you want me to add or any colours you want me to tweak, like now is the time to tell me so that I can tie it all in.
Yeah.
And I'll be quite lucky. I think you can tell quite from past experience in other businesses taking commissions, you can tell quite early if the client is going to be a good fit for you.
Oh, totally.
In the way that they communicate, mm-hmm. their expression of joy for your work, or if they've just found you because they need a very specific thing. Like there's a real difference in connection. Yeah, well, let's
talk about that, because I think that's actually a big fear factor for a lot of people with commissions is what if you get the nightmare client?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, in the bulk of my experience, most of the people that have commissioned from me have been so lovely and gracious and allowed me to unfold as an artist and not interfered and just let me do my thing. And it's been really quite amazing.
Mm.
I was almost had 100% success rate until last year. I had one that didn't work out. And it's interesting you say that because when I think about the interaction that I had with that person, it was very confused and I thought I was on the right page, but the way that they communicated, that sort of, but I want a little bit like this, but more like this, but a little bit like this and this. And I actually, it was a conversation I'd had in person and I recorded it so that I could go back and review it. And when I listened to it again, I was like, wow, the writing was really on the wall with that one.
Right.
And the deal breaker for me in that relationship was when I sent the approval painting, the approval email, they're actually a bit aggressive with me. I was just like, what? Like, it's okay. You can not like it, but I can't reverse it to the degree that you're asking me to reverse it. And it was actually very, I'd spelled out exactly what I was doing in the commission proposal they agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted something different, which I, when I listened to the conversation, I realized what they were doing then, but it wasn't clear. And when they'd agreed to it, I was like, well, okay. Anyway, that's been the only case that hasn't worked out. One in, I don't know, there'd be dozens and dozens.
So in the future, you'd see those red flags.
I think I would see them better at just making sure I have more clarity.
Yeah.
And then I have a whole other process that I do. It's a bit woo-woo. It's a bit of a spiritual process that I do that really helps me to hold the energy of the commission, but that is a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's some secret sauce there, I reckon, yeah. Well, thanks for that, Suze. It's given me a bit of clarity around that I'm on the right track, but there's more that I need to probably put in place to protect myself.
I think that's the area, like the only real area that you need to change. I mean, I can tend to make things a lot more complicated than they need to be, Steph. You know this about me. So I think you've got a pretty clear and simple process that's actually really good. And yeah, good on you.
Yeah, great. I'm good surprising on you, myself.
That was such an Australian moment.
So rude. I'm surprising myself that I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, it is a bit surprising, isn't it? Like, because I think we can build a real fear around that. And I think you figure out pretty quickly if you're someone who's suited to that kind of work or not. Because some people, it's just not a good experience for them, and that's fine too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. All right.
Thanks for sharing your process with us all too.
Yeah, thanks for giving me overwhelm.
Oh no.
All the things I need to do.
No. You actually don't need to do that much.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, lovely chatting again. Hope you're all well out there and have a fantastic week. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Just another quick reminder that this is the final episode for season 4. We'll be back with the first episode of season 5 on the 20th of April. Till then, take care.
And just before I leave, I wanted to just let you know that we, of course, have the Equinox sale happening at the moment. So if you'd like to jump on that, it's only until the 31st of March, 2021. And you need to use the code EQ1 to get 20% off chapter 1 of my Painting as a Practice e-course. And you can also use the code EQ2 if you'd like to purchase the chapters 1 and 2 bundle. And you can find those over at susannethicottstudio.com/online-classes.